should be really thankful for the word of God. God has given us his word. It's such a great blessing. And on top of that, he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. Otherwise, we would have been quite blind living in this world. That's what I was really thanking God for. His word, his truth, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we can have a glimpse of heaven. We can walk looking at Jesus, and we can have clarity. We can have purpose in our life. The word of God says that all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, and by that we'll be equipped. That word equipped is very important, because if you're not equipped, we may be shot down. See, like a soldier who is walking, like he is in the war. If he's not equipped, he's not prepared, well prepared, he can be a target, or he is always a target, but the thing is, he can be shot down. So that's how it is. So it's a battle, brothers and sisters. That's what I see. You know, there's a phrase which I often think. So tasty food or junk food, junk food is always tasty. Junk food is tasty, but it is not healthy. But healthy food is always not tasty, but it is healthy. Like that, when it comes to scriptures, the truths, because we have lived in darkness, we have lived in the flesh, we lived in sin. It's like a brand plucked from the fire, or we just pulled out from the filth of the world, but still we have flesh. So we have to be careful to understand what is God expect from me, what are God's priorities, because I have come from a pit where the priorities are exactly opposite to God. So that is the danger I have. That's why, if you remember last week when Brother Charles was sharing about fellowship, he mentioned that, I think, 2 Corinthians 6, where the Lord says, come out, you people, from their midst, because I want to be a father to you. I want you to be children to me. And then, I think, chapter 7, verse 1 says, then cleanse yourself from all filthiness, from the flesh and spirit. So we have to recognize, Lord, help me. Help me see your priorities, your purpose and plan and principles, so that I can live by it, so that I can be cleansed from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, so that I can bring pleasure, and also I'll protect myself. One of the things which Brother Charles mentioned, four type of fellowships. In that, I don't know how many of you are able to remember and meditate. And so one of the third point he mentioned, first he mentioned about having fellowship with God, the importance of having fellowship with God. And the second, having fellowship with one another. And the third he mentioned was the fellowship of his suffering. I don't really like the word suffering. It's not so a comfortable word. Even children don't like the word suffering. So that's why I was just mentioning that tasty food may not be healthy. The healthy foods always may not be tasty. But what to do? We have to eat a healthy food to live healthy. So like that. So suffering, we should not think suffering as, oh, something we should abhor of, or something which let's avoid. That is what Satan is trying to do. I would like to read that verse, Philippians chapter 2, rather, I think chapter 3 once. Chapter 3, verse 7. Here Paul is trying to say something. In fact, verse 10, that is what Brother Charles quoted last week. I would like to read from verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. That means there are so many things which is valued in the world, but I'm afraid I don't want to think those things as gain. But in the world, they consider that as gain, and I also consider that as a gain. But now, for the sake of Christ, I want to count it as a loss. It's not a great thing. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. See, he is trying to kind of point our eyes to Jesus. See, there are values of Christ, there are values of the world. I want to be drawn to the values of Christ and count all these values of the world as a loss. That's what he is trying to say. But he says that I want to keep this as a main focus. And maybe found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but I can do so many things. But that which is through faith in Christ. And Christ is going to work in my life, and he is going to make me a new person. Who's that new person? Heavenly person. A person who starts having heavenly values, not earthly values. That comes through suffering. I have suffered the loss, he says. The word suffered comes. See, there is a suffering. When we say, because we are kind of people from this world, we have a lot of inclination to this earth. We don't like suffering. We like comforts of the world, riches of the world, values of the world. We have come from that. That's why that detachment, there is a suffering involved in detaching. That's what he is trying to say. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I may know him, know his values, his thoughts. In fact, I think chapter 2, verse 5 says, have the attitude of Christ. They yearn to have attitude. I want to have attitudes of Christ. Then he speaks about humility, how he humbled himself, the Lord. And he says, and his power, power of his resurrection. We cannot live this life without his power. The power of resurrection. Because the resurrection took Jesus from the death. This world always pulls us down to death. The values of this world is death. But here he's saying, I want to be gripped by the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Keep dying to this world and values of this world, and I have a suffering. So when I like to give away the world's values and what my flesh likes or myself likes, then there's a suffering. And that's what Jesus went through. He suffered. He suffered. That's what it says. And that's why it's very good to have the mind of disciple. That's why Jesus emphasized, I want you to be disciples. I want you to be students. When you are students, see, like our children goes to college, and they are very clear which college, what subject, what we want to study, what we like. See, then they are quite focused. See, especially going to college, the focus is narrowed down to particular subject, and we don't want them to waste their time going and sitting this and that, doing this and that. And we want them to attend the classes. We want them to hear particular subjects. Then only they can become mature in that particular subject. That's how it is here. That's why God, Jesus wants us to be his disciples. But we should not forget, our flesh doesn't like, and also Satan is trying to make things so beautiful, wonderful, which he offers us, the world offers us, which our flesh also likes. Our self also likes that. And that is where this word disciple comes. Lord, I want to be a disciple. I want to learn. I want to slowly learn so that all these things of the world and values of the world and sin, it looks sin and it looks so back to me. That's what it talks. It says about Jesus. I think Hebrews 1:9. It says he loved righteousness. See, Brazak explains. Is loving righteousness, doing righteousness. Yeah, we have to do righteousness. But Jesus was not only doing righteousness. He was loving righteousness. See, when he loves to suffer. He loves to hate sin. He loves to put the world's priorities down. And that's what he loved. That's loving righteousness. Righteousness means that what God wants me to do, what my Father wants me to do. And hated iniquity. Hated iniquity. It's not he avoided iniquity. No, he hated lawlessness. He hated iniquity. That's why we want to have that. We need to have the heart and the mind of a disciple. That's what really grips. I was thinking about it through the week. Lord, help me to see this. What is this fellowship of his suffering? I want to learn more, Lord. See, whatever I am sharing now, the Lord is helping me to understand. Not only that, I want to learn. I'm not speaking as though, oh, I know what is fellowship of suffering. No, no, not really, brothers and sisters. I want to learn. I want to meditate on this more and more, more and more. Gripped by the heart of Jesus. Then I will have a heart of Jesus through the help of the Holy Spirit. In every situation, I can make right choices. And I don't grab hold of the things of the world. See, let's see another verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment, that means suffering with the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ. See, in his mind, the Christ was there. The considering the reproach, the sufferings and the shame, those things of Christ, greater riches. See, that's greater richness than the treasures of Egypt. See, we may just read glibly and may not know the gravity of it. We need to meditate on that. That Egypt was the superpower. We have heard many times from Razak. It was a superpower. It was like even incomparable. America is incomparable compared to today. But that is great in many, many aspects. Engineering and so many things. Riches, all the riches were there. It's a superpower. But he said, no, no, no. The values of Christ. I rather choose the values of Christ. Oh, that's reproach and suffering, difficulty. You can be killed. But Moses said, no, no, no. I will choose this. This looks to me greater riches. This is the choice that came into his heart. That looks to me greater riches than this world. But I'll tell you, today we hear about Moses because of his integrity with God. See, it's not an easy choice to make. He could have been killed every day, but he got faith in God. God said, I will stand by you. He had to run away when he was 40 years. But finally God said, no, no, don't worry. Don't fear. Satan wants to scare you. Egypt wants to scare you. Pharaoh wants to scare you. Don't get scared. I'll tell you, this is the treasure. Then he understood, hey, God is my treasure. Why I should desire after these things? I'll stand by the people of God and suffer reproach. I don't care. See, that is what, see, in fact, a few weeks back, Brother Victor was sharing. I was so blessed here. He was talking about bearing the reproach of Christ. The same thing. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12, where he was mentioning. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have the lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. See, here we see the same mindset of Christ, Jesus here. What Moses understood, and Jesus demonstrated that. He went outside the camp. That means this world is a camp which offers us so many things, and which also tells you, hey, there's a suffering there. You are going to struggle there. You will not have good name. You don't have pleasure and things, and you have to suffer. If you think about Jesus' life, was it so comfortable? No, not really. Many, many godly people. In fact, I think 2 Timothy 3:12, I think it says that all those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus in this world will suffer, will face persecution, will face difficulties. We don't have to fear that, because, you know, in the will of God, the best part of being in the will of God is God will be with us. That is what Moses understood. That is what Jesus understood. So being in the will of God, even though it is suffering, the great thing is God will be with us. That's the great benefit which all these people see. I want in my mind to remove that aversion towards suffering. If I have to follow Christ, I have to suffer. I have to do something righteous, I have to suffer. See, we go on to a few more verses. See, even Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears, and to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety, godly fear. Although he was son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. See, here also where suffering comes. He means Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering. Wow, wonderful that Jesus chose to be born in a poor home. That's a beautiful thing. It can be an example. Like we hear that more than 80% of Indian population are poor. Means what a good news. Hey, Jesus was born as a poor person and he suffered. Because that is what most of the people go through. And it's an encouragement. And that is what God is trying to help us to understand. Don't incline, because the Satan keeps bombarding into our ears. And no, don't avoid suffering. Avoid suffering. It's okay. Tell one lie and do something. Just cover up and do this, do that. And then you'll be protected. From what? Suffering. But here Jesus demonstrated. And all godly people demonstrated. Suffering is okay. I'll take it. Even if we listen carefully to the life of Brother Zach and Brother Ian, you see that. All godly ones, see, they chose to suffer. Suffering is so important for our life. I'm not saying in a negative term. See, because suffering will take us to the Lord's presence. That's what you see. The thing is, his prayers were heard. And he learned obedience. Then what was the outcome? Outcome was, in fact, you read a little further down, Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with endurance and endurance the race that is set before us. Who has set the race? Jesus. That's why we need to see the reason we come together or listen to the messages, come together to encourage, so that where in the world there are so many values can come and kind of block our mind, make us to believe, oh, somebody did like this, somebody said like this, oh, I am struggling, suffering, all this self-pity and things, oh, I am trying to do right, but I am being misunderstood, ill-treated. All this are filth. It should be cleansed. Said, yes, I am doing it for the Lord. The Lord is helping me. I'm following Christ. Why somebody should feel sorry about me? No, I don't know. Jesus never had that kind of a self-pity. Never. Even disciples, maybe before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they enjoyed. They had that joy of heaven. And because of that, see, it is not easy to be disciple or following Christ in the first century. Maybe it's more comfortable today. There may be a lot of reservations if you become Christian. I don't know. Maybe. But that time, it was death marked on them. If you follow Christ, you don't know when you die. And whatever the privileges and the house, I think in Acts 8, it says, when the gospel came, their persecution also came and they fled. They went everywhere. Oh, things looks like, wow, people left everything and went away. You know what happened? The outcome was people left their comforts and went away. And wherever they went, they established the churches. God established many disciples. Many people came to the Lord and became disciples. That's the thing. See, you know, outcome is joy. See, here it says, we fix our eyes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He suffered. He said, yes, wonderful suffering. Because this world is, in any case, the world hates Jesus. In fact, Jesus told one place, this world has hated me, and how it will treat you. What do you expect? Something good from this world. There's nothing. Don't kind of crave after things of the world and honors and respects and comforts. No, you don't have to. You just clean your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He endured despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, that's the goal. And yeah, all these things, just get out of your heart and mind and have a mind to suffer. Because the world likes unrighteousness, but you don't like unrighteousness. You like righteousness. You want to please God, and the world doesn't want to please God. The world loves things of the world, and you don't like the things of the world. There's a mismatch. There's a war. I think Romans 8, where Paul says, there's a war between my flesh and my spirit. There's a war. Flesh likes things of the world, and the spirit likes the things of God, and there's a war. We have to put the sword and suffer, and that's what Jesus did. If we look at Jesus, then our heart is comforted. Wow, wonderful. See, he made a way for us to the throne of God through suffering. He suffered and endured the cross and despising the shame. Verse 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, this is the thing, brothers and sisters, I and you need to learn. Lord, grip my heart with Jesus more and more. The way he walked, the path he tread, please help me become like him so that I don't lose heart. Somebody says, oh, you're lost. You remember Brother Zach saying many times, when he chose to obey the Lord and walk the different paths, and he was ridiculed and he was mocked. There was a reproach. But you know, could that? I think we need to really thank God. Lord, thank you. You gripped Brother Zach's heart, and despising the shame and reproach and all that didn't look attractive or kind of a threatening to him, even to Brother Ian. Many godly people that way. And they said, it's okay, it's part of life. Suffering is part of life. Reproach is part of life. Shame is part of life. Because in any case, the world doesn't like it, and the world, Christian world, may not like it. But we want to walk this path and endure it. See, that's what happened. See, in fact, hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. This verse was a little complex verse to me. I remember many years back, I don't know, long back, Razak explaining. Take a pin, put it to your thumb or anywhere, and just poke it. A little pain, little pain, little pain, little pain. Yes, you're okay, 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 okay. And pin goes inside, the blood comes. See, that's how it is. Are you able to take the pain by walking righteousness, in righteousness? This extent, it's okay, okay, okay. Not to the level of blood comes out. See, that is what it is saying here. Jesus said, poke it. Let the blood come out. But I will not yield. I am ready to suffer. See, this is the mind of Christ. It's a mind to suffer. See, but I belong to God. See, that is what is the glory of suffering. See, this is what when we talk about fellowshipping with the suffering, with his suffering. See, he endured the cross. He suffered. Lord, I'm your disciple. I will suffer. And Jesus told disciples, I think Matthew 10, he said, no, I have, they will treat me so badly. But do you think that they will treat you nicely? I think you will be, if they treat master so badly, what about you? That's what Jesus was trying to say. We'll go to next verse. So, Matthew 5 verse 10, I was thinking, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. You know, Jesus said something like this. We need to understand. Jesus said, blessed, fortunate, lucky. Who? Those who are persecuted for the righteousness. When you are righteous, you will be persecuted. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus opened up the kingdom, the gates to kingdom. What is the way? Way is you will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. If you want to be righteous, you will be persecuted. That's okay, fine. I have tread this path. For this is the kingdom. And verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Then what do you do? It says verse 12, rejoice and be glad. One of the translations says, jump for joy. I'm not seeing any. What should be our response? Lord, wow, you went through this way, Lord. And you are there. And not only that, when we go through that suffering, you know, God will be holding our hand. And God says, whole heaven rejoices. All heaven stands with us, saying, we will stand with you. Don't worry. That's what the Jesus is saying. See, we see, oh, sorry me. Oh, I'm struggling. Oh, even though I am right, they are not understanding me. But Jesus says, no, rejoice and be glad. And your reward in heaven is great for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's a glorious path, brothers and sisters. Then we need to understand what's our goal. What is fellowship with his suffering? We should enjoy. We should desire for it. I want to have a fellowship. See, we think about, oh, fellowship with God. It's wonderful. Oh, fellowship with all the brothers and sisters. Wonderful. But you know, if we want to have fellowship with God, there is a suffering involved. I have to lay down myself, kill myself, all my desires. Then only I can have fellowship. See, we forget that suffering. We have to pay the price. See, like I remember once I was sharing, like we have to pay the price. And we have to pay how much, what level we pay the price, so much we can have closeness with God. I said, somebody, see, you go and buy a mobile phone. And okay, mobile phones are available for 5,000 or 6,000, 10,000, 20,000. Means how much you pay the price, the quality will be good. It's like that. With God also, though, I want to have a wonderful fellowship with God. Who has paid the price? What price I have paid? For that level only I can enjoy the fellowship with God. Even when we say, oh, a godly brother has enjoyed the fellowship. Oh, Madam Guyon, oh, she enjoyed the presence of the Lord. But you know what she paid? She paid the high price. So it's the level of price we pay, then only we enjoy. That's what Jesus is trying to say. That you have a... And also another thing we should not forget. See, you know, after we go to heaven, Jesus is saying that reward in heaven is great. But the thing is, you know, after I go to heaven, I don't have to take up the cross. I don't have to suffer. I don't have to fight against sin. No, all this opportunity is not there. This is what was coming to me. See, I don't have the opportunity. I don't know who said, maybe Sadhu Sundar Singh said, see, you don't have opportunity to take up the cross in heaven. Only you have opportunity to take up the cross now in this earth. If I am dead today, my quota is finished. I can't take up the cross anymore. See, taking up the cross means, don't see it negatively. Means when I take up the cross, what I am saying is, I am declaring to Satan, Satan, I don't want you or your things. See, like Jesus said, when he comes, I don't have anything which belongs to him. See, I'm declaring, saying that, Satan, I don't want you or your things. I'm saying no to it. And I'm saying yes to what God wants me to do. This is taking up the cross. See, I say, you are not my master. My God is my master. I displease you, I please God. That's how Jesus lived. That's his taking of the cross. That's the beauty of it. That's what. And then, if I am dead and gone, there is no opportunity at all. Opportunity is lost. That's why we need to be gripped by these things. Which the Lord is speaking to me. I'm not speaking like an expert. I want to learn this more and more. And another thing, Matthew 16, which I was saying. Matthew 16, where, yeah, you all know very well this verse where Jesus talks about suffering. Verse 21, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up. But Peter said, oh, what is this suffering? You're talking about, we said that you're going to be a king among us and you will restore us and restore the kingdom for us and things like that. But what are you talking about, Jesus? If you go, what do we do? He didn't understand. He said, God forbid it, Lord. This should never happen. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block because you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's interest. Man's interest is me, how I am going to live on this earth and comfort that. There is so many things. He had a big list in his mind. But Jesus said, no, no, no. Your mind is not on suffering. You want something on this earth, or you want God to be happy and kingdom of God. You want that or this. But anyway, thank God, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. His eyes were open to see and understand all that Jesus said. Maybe he didn't understand what is the mind of suffering of Christ. Why he says, I want to go and suffer. See, verse 21, he said, I have to suffer many things. Suffer many things. And Jesus, you suffered from childhood to now. Still you want to suffer. But see, Jesus said, no, no, no. I have to suffer. That's the way of God. But you are an hindrance. If you don't have a mind to suffer, you are an hindrance. And then even Paul was also concerned about people. 2 Corinthians 11, we see that I'm afraid that you may be attracted to another Jesus. This is another thing. See, you know, I can be attracted to another Jesus. I'm scared if I go and sit in a church where a Jesus is portrayed in a different way. Gospel is portrayed in a different way. There's a different spirit. It's all Christian. It looks like all Christian. But it's not a real Jesus. You know, that possibility is there for us. That we are seeking for some other Jesus. He said, you read 11 Corinthians 3 onwards. Chapter 11 verse 3 onwards. This is another Jesus. You people are attracted to another Jesus. I'm afraid that you may be devoted to another Jesus. The Jesus who doesn't say, oh, no suffering, nothing, prosperity, blessing, that, this and all. And you're not bothered about sin at all. And that's the danger. That's what he is saying. And we have heard Brother Zach saying many times. See, we talk about fellowship. Every time fellowship, there is a suffering involved. See, even a mutual relationship, husband and wife relationship, Brother Zach has told many times that if both are alive unto flesh, there will be war, no fellowship. But if one dies, there is peace. You want peace? Yes, we all want peace. But more than that fellowship, that if both die, there is fellowship. Both die. Because there is suffering involved. Food is not good? Okay. Suffer. Because I want fellowship, not food. Oh, it should be comfortable. Oh, my wife should be understanding me. My wife should be changing. It should be like this, like that. Oh, so many things. I have so many demands. Even when I come to church, I have so many expectations, demands. And I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. So where in the world I'll have fellowship? I will never grow in fellowship with God or in the home or in the church because I don't have mind to suffer. That's something which we need to understand. I just want to close here. So Hebrews 13:12, that we read it. 1 Peter I would like to close with. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. He says, servants, be submissive to your master, which all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle. So it's so plain. It's a so plain truth. Peter is right. Peter is someone who was gripped by fellowship of his suffering. He says, see, you know, here, don't be only seeking for those who are good and gentle, but but also to those who are unreasonable. And this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. You know, again, suffering justly. This finds favor. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. See, again, he says, this finds favor. That means you suffer. You don't have to justify or explain. Nothing, no explanation required. But if you do this, it finds favor with God. And favor with God, that means I grow in fellowship with God. Because God sees that, hey, you desire fellowship, you have a mind to suffer, like my son. This finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose. Verse 21 is very clear. What is the purpose? Purpose is, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor any deceit found in him. While being reviled, he did not revile. While suffering, he uttered no threat and kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Maybe one more verse I would like to close. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 12, 13. We read, I would like to read it from Message Bible. It says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Don't fear, God has forgotten me. No, no, no. Don't have self-pity and all that. No, no, no. When life gets difficult, don't think that God is not on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. If you are abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you are a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. You know what Peter is trying to say? Just don't think what benefits you and all that. Just think what God, what brings pleasure to God. And for that, we need to meditate and be gripped by the path Jesus went. That's what Paul was saying. I count everything rubbish. I want to know Jesus. That means his fellowship. I want to partake of the fellowship of his suffering. That means he endured. He went through that suffering path. The path of suffering. But I want to partake. I have opportunity only on this earth. After this, I don't have this opportunity. That's why I think Paul desired that. You know, Paul's life was not easy. But I think in heaven we will see that he will be so thankful for all the sufferings. In fact, he says in, I think, Philippians 4, 11 or 12, he says, I'm content. Content with all circumstances. Even suffering. He says that there that even suffering, if I'm suffered, I don't have money or going through difficult circumstances, I'm content. This is good for me. May the Lord help us to be gripped by that. Amen.
Before we pray, I thought of these verses. We heard about suffering and we heard about fellowship. It says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. This word was almost coming now and then to me. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. Seeking to know what a person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the suffering of Christ and glories to follow. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories to follow. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17, "For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." A little affliction now, a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The word glory you can keep in your heart. And another verse in Romans chapter 8 verse 18. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The way to a glorious life or an abundant life is through the path of suffering. Don't need to turn there, Psalm 66. The way to abundant life, the sufferings where God let men ride over our heads. So let's not be gloomy, brothers and sisters, when hear this word suffering. Let's not lose heart thinking that, you know, tomorrow God will allow me to be a martyr for Christ. That's all PhD level. So we have little suffering, little mosquito bites in our homes, misunderstandings. So let's, I heard a godly man saying, "I don't want to enter the heaven without scars." So how do you want to enter this heaven, brothers and sisters? Yes, we will be like a bride clothed in white robes. But somewhere inside my heart, I want to have scars. I want to, you know, end with this poem by Emmy Carmichael before I close in prayer. I read a little slowly. "Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archer's bent. Lean me against the tree to die and rent. By ravening beast that compassed me, I swooned." That means I fainted. "Hast thou no wound? No wound, no scar. Yet the master shall the servant be. Yet as the master shall the servant be. And pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far? Who has no wound, no scar." So we heard about Sadhu Sundar Singh. He was known as an apostle with bleeding feet. And we heard that the seed of church is the blood of the martyrs. Yes, it's very long way ahead. But let's arm ourselves with a mind to suffer. Not resisting. You know, Jesus said, "Lord, not my will, but yet your will be done." And God will not allow us to be tested or tempted beyond our strength. He will not test us beyond our maturity. He will not allow us to be tested beyond our consecration, our surrender. So let's not hear this message. I don't know how many other churches you heard this message of suffering. To show something, this is the way we must walk in it. This is the way which Christ went. This is the way which the martyrs went. I don't know, young people, there is a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you get a chance, take time to read it. Let's close our eyes and pray.